Welcome to the July 5th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our virtual service today is led by UUC Worship Associate Stephen Henninger, and the sermon is delivered by Reverend Amy Russell, who is the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Glen Allen.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Stephen Henninger, and I'm honored to be your worship associate today. Today we have a guest minister, Minister Rev. Allen from the Grace Allen Church up. And so today I'd also like to hold up a few announcements. That if you've not yet taken the strategic planning survey that was sent out in the newsletter, please do so. It takes about 10 minutes. This is very important as the congregation plans where we hope to go over the next about 5 years. And there's also some exciting prizes supporting our local vendors. Also, a reminder about the auction that is now live on our new website. Reach out to Molly McClintock or Irene Peterson if you're interested in donating an item, a service, or an experience. You will find in the chat, once I share it, the link to the Joys and Sorrows card, which will be shared aloud later in the service. And then additionally, you also find a link to the Newcomers card, which if you're new to our congregation, welcome, and we'd love to stay in touch by you filling out the newcomers card. I'll share those in the chat momentarily. And now as you light your own chalice or candle at home, please join me in reading the words that are printed on the screen. Our chalice lighting today is from Paul Robeson, who was a Black artist and social justice advocate. I shall take my voice wherever there are those who want to hear the melody of freedom or the words that might inspire hope and courage in the face of despair and fear. My weapons are peaceful, for it is only peace that can be attained. Song of freedom must prevail. Today's opening words are from President Abraham Lincoln's first inaugural address. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory, stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land, will yet swell the chorus of the Union, when again, touched as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. This week's offertory, the weekly offertory is a reminder and a ritual that we are part of the interconnected web of life. Each week, UUC gives half of the collection plate to a local or UU affiliated organization committed to doing good works. This week's offering will go to the Millstone Kitchen. The Millstone Kitchen is a commercial kitchen facility in the newly renovated old school at Price's Fork. Their mission is to empower and support food entrepreneurs in launching their dream businesses. You may give through the information that's on the screen, either our Give Plus app or text FUND to 844-909-2617. You may also give on our website. And now I invite you to settle into your seats and feel the ground beneath you. And if you're comfortable, close your eyes as I read a meditation from Rev. Maureen Killoran. Spirit of life and love, I come before you. Black and brown and red and yellow and alabaster. I come longing for the simpler days that truly never were our lot. I am an American. Hear these voices as the complexity of our days. I am humanist and Christian, Muslim and Jew, pagan and atheist and Buddhist and UU, and I am an American. I am one who fought for my country, and I am at the same time one who protested war, and I am an American. Amongst the division of our days, I've struggled in poverty, and I've accepted the profits of wealth, and I am an American. I'm an owner of weapons, and I am one who would control our nation's guns by limiting the who's and what's and how's, and I am an American. As light is shown on our divisions, I live with an often unacknowledged privilege, and I am moved to rage at the complexity of intersecting oppressions, and I am an American. In the challenge of our days, I am one who supports my country, right or wrong, and I am one who claims the traditions of dissent, and I am an American. In this polarized season, I am Democrat and I am Republican. I am Libertarian and I am Independent. I am Green and I am Confused. And I am an American. Spirit of Hope, sit with us in our diversities. Help us hear one another in our divisions. Grant that, beginning in this community, we may honor one another's truths and know that a just and faithful tomorrow begins here in our hearts. For with all our problems, with all our pain, with all our limitations and mistakes, we are Americans. Blessed be and amen. Today, I share a reading from Frederick Douglass. What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him, more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license. Your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciations of tyrants, brass-fronted imprudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are, to him, mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy. A thin veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. So now I'm excited to share today's sermon from Rev. Amy Russell from the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Glen Allen.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Amy Russell. I'm the minister at the Unitarian Universalist Community Church in Glen Allen, Virginia. So glad to be with you here this morning. Have you grown up believing in the American ideal, believing in a country founded on the principles of freedom, equality, and self-determination? The idea of a country where each person has the opportunity to a good job, a decent education, a good place to live, and equal protection under the law. Many of us have grown up with these understandings and dreams. In the past few days and months and years, as we see Black Americans continue to be killed in the streets as they stand, our picture of a nation as a place of justice has come crashing down on those of us who identify as white Americans. For Black Americans, these hopes and dreams have been false dreams. The kind of idyllic America has never been true for people who have been treated as second-class citizens for generations in this country. As Langston Hughes said in his poem, "Let America Be America Again," there's never been equality for me in this homeland of the free. America never was America to me. The America that we often lift up in our Independence Day celebrations is illusory for many in this country. Frederick Douglass speaks about the strange idea that slaves might imagine what this liberty that Americans spout on the 4th of July would be like. How could Americans, Black Americans, with the history of slavery and centuries of oppression, feel the stirrings of pride about freedom on this day. Frederick Douglass asked, "What to the American slave is your 4th of July?" I answer, "A day that reveals to him, more than any other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham." Douglass's description of the celebrations of independence on the 4th of July might sound a true note to some Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Others who identify as white might feel that we should enjoy this day when Americans celebrate our nation's independence from another nation that was felt to be our oppressor, Great Britain. Growing up and being taught that our nation was forged out of a struggle between a great colonial power and America, a nation of farmers and laborers, obscured the true view of a nation that built much of its greatness on the unpaid, enslaved peoples who were brought to this country by force of will. Most white Americans were not taught that our country, built on the principles of equality and freedom, ignored these principles in order to enslave African peoples. John Meacham, in his book, Soul of America, describes the essence of the American soul as the belief in the proposition, as Jefferson put it in the Declaration, that all men are created equal. Meacham describes the American ideal as believing that anyone coming from anywhere of any color or creed has free access to what Lincoln called the just and generous, prosperous system, which opens the way for all. Even Frederick Douglass who had lived much of his life as a slave, wanted to believe that we could create a better America. He said, "I know of no soil better adapted to the growth of reform than the American soil." He believed that the opportunity of greatness lay in the foundations of this country. He believed we could be better. Perhaps it is the story of this nation being founded on the ideal of equality for all that leads us to think of ourselves as great. Perhaps it is that false pride which leads to the idea of American exceptionalism. Because we strive to be something better, we think perhaps we are something better. When we look at Abraham Lincoln, we see embodied in this man the soul of an American, a man who is dedicated to this experiment in democracy, in freedom. And yet we see the contradictions of a white American who believed in freedom, and yet who didn't see how the country could end slavery. When Lincoln was campaigning for president, while he spoke against the idea of slavery, he did not campaign as an abolitionist. He spoke out against slavery being extended to the Western states, but he did not speak about abolishing it in the Northern and Southern states. Lincoln's concept was to send enslaved people in ships back to Africa. He did not believe that African Americans could live in this country as equals to white Americans. Later, events of the political landscape caught up with him. Lincoln was elected as a Republican candidate, which was the worst outcome for the South, who was fearing this Republican Party that was more progressive at the time. 2 weeks before Lincoln's inauguration, the South announced they were seceding from the Union. So the nation was holding its breath to hear Lincoln's first inaugural address and what he would say about this on his stand of slavery. Lincoln had no plan to end slavery, but instead he wished to reconcile the South and bring them back into the Union. His speech said so. He said emphatically that he had no purpose, directly or indirectly, to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states where it exists. He believed he had no constitutional grounding to do so. He also upheld the Dred Scott ruling, which allowed escaped slaves to be brought back to their owners. At the end of the speech, he called on the nation to come together when he mentioned the chorus of the Union, "Touched Again by Our Better Angels." We remember those words from that speech, but not his intent. We all know that Lincoln eventually came to see the error of trying to appease the South as the country broke into a bloody and vicious civil war. He came to see that slavery had to be ended, but it took him the length of this bloody war to find his better angels. With his feet of clay, Lincoln demonstrated to history what a person with a good heart but a wrong idea might do given the oppression that is baked into this nation. John Meacham goes on to explain that after the war ended, the Civil War continued to be fought in the South despite the nature of this lost cause. He says that it continues to be fought today by those whose aim is to promote and continue the mantle of white supremacy in this country. While Lincoln is remembered as a president who freed enslaved people, he didn't set out to be that. History or fate, or perhaps that form of the moral arc of the universe that we hear about, bending towards justice, perhaps that caught up with him. What finally pulled Lincoln to doing the right thing, the political opinion of his voters, his own conscience, or some grace that visited him, we don't know. So is that grace being visited upon us again? Are we being given another chance to find our better angels? Why hasn't this country woken up to the violence and oppression that we visited upon Black citizens again and again? Is this the final clarion call for us to wake up? As our streets are alive with protesters, as statues which have been honored and glorified begin to topple, as people who never understood why Black Lives Matter maybe start to see a glimmer of that, what do we do now? How do we find our better angels? Lincoln's often mentioned with that phrase, feet of clay. The metaphor comes from a biblical story in the book of Daniel, in which the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream. And in the dream, he sees a statue, and the upper part of the body is made of gold. The lower part of his body is made of iron, but his feet is made of iron and clay. And iron and clay make for a very unsteady foundation. It shows that the country was divided. And this phrase, feet of clay, often means that a person is divided in their thinking. I have felt that for many years I have had feet of clay in my understanding of the issue of race. I was only looking at what was convenient and acceptable to me for what I wanted to change, instead of looking at what needed to happen. As our movement began to awaken to the battle for anti-racism, I was on board for many of the goals, the goal of dismantling white supremacy. I was okay with using that term because I understood that we were describing institutional racism, not humans as racists. But there have been many times when I have felt like I was estranged from our UUA and the movement and the direction it was going. In my discomfort with the primacy of this issue, I had felt like I lost my home. And when I went to the 2017 GA in New Orleans, I could not understand why the issue of race was shaking us like an earthquake to our very core. I had little understanding of what was happening. I felt like I had found a refuge in this faith and that I was a person of justice, but I could not understand why we were centering this one issue above all other issues. I felt I was being thrown out of the faith for not being woke enough, for being white, for being not completely in with all of my commitment. And despite my alienation from what was going on, I also began to learn that I had to educate myself to move forward. I began to hear from people in our movement, people of color, about how they had been alienated from our faith tradition for years from being treated less than. That began to slowly eat away at me, at a feeling that I needed to do something to change. I took my time. I began to do the education that I thought was necessary. I signed up for an interfaith justice workshop that was being held at an interfaith center in Richmond. It was a year long. I then began to do my work individually, doing readings, and I signed up and attended the workshop, the Richmond Pledge, that was offered by First UU and by our congregation. I began to feel the change happening within me. What finally changed me to fully commit to being one with this movement and being able to commit myself to it was when I joined a team of clergy at the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association. The team was working on collegiality, education, and anti-racism, anti-depression for ministers. I attended two retreats with these colleagues. The people who were part of the anti-racist, anti-oppression, multicultural team began to tell me their stories. Some of them were people of color and queer, and they told me that Through the years that they had been in this movement, they had been treated as second class. They had been ignored. They had not been invited into leadership. They did not feel like they had a home. And yet they stayed and tried to change our movement. I began to realize that my feeling of alienation was only a fraction of what they had been feeling forever. After telling my story to one of these team members, he said to me, "Are you ready? Are you ready to be invited into this movement?" And I said, "Yes," because I was finally ready. Perhaps you have been having feelings similar to mine. Perhaps you have felt alienated by the primacy of this issue in our movement. Maybe the past few weeks have finally begun your awakening. And I want you to know that you are all invited into this movement as I was, that we need all of us, even with our feet of clay. Attending the UU General Assembly this year, it was an amazing experience because we were able to hear from so many Indigenous, Black, and people of color about their experiences, about their heritage. I encourage you to look at a report that was finally presented by the Commission on Institutional Change. This report had been commissioned 3 years ago by the General Assembly, and it was presented today. It's called Widening the Circle of Concern, and you can get this report in our UUA bookstore. It talks about recommendations for how we need to change ourselves institutionally. Many congregations are now considering the adoption of the Eighth Principle. The proposed Eighth Principle asks congregations to commit to doing the work to dismantle racism and build a diverse multicultural community. There is much examination to do in all of our congregations, and we need to begin that work now. The work of finding our better angels, it's a lifetime commitment. It isn't just the issue of the day. It's the issue that we must commit to now to ensure that we can be proud of being a Unitarian Universalist. As Americans, dismantling white supremacy is what we must do to realize our dreams of an America finally enacting that ideal of equality and freedom. Let America be America one day.
As we leave this sacred time we've set aside, let us remember the words of poet Langston Hughes. "And yet I swear this oath, America will be, out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft, and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again." Thank you all, and go in peace, and may the spirit of life accompany you as we begin the journey of walking through that door.